Welcome to the New Life Fellowship Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by guest speaker Elon Wah. For more information about New Life Fellowship, please visit nlfbeaverfalls.com.
The title of today's message is called Upgrade Your Thoughts. Who doesn't like an upgrade, right? Why would you want to fly economy if you could get into first class? If you're a McDonald's fan, maybe you want to supersize it. Although I don't think that's even a thing anymore. But upgrade your thoughts. I'm a little curious, and I'm not going to ask you guys to raise your hands, but when Jack was talking about spiritual gifts last week, was the tendency to have any kind of thoughts or thought processes that would somehow disqualify yourself from being able to be used or to have or to accept those spiritual gifts? Sometimes without even realizing it, we can kind of disqualify ourselves because of how we view ourselves or how we think. And I think about Moses, who very much wanted to help out his people, but he disqualified himself on the aspect of speaking. Even though God said, "You are the man for the job," he disqualified himself because of how he viewed himself. So at the end of the last sermon, I talked very briefly, and I read Romans 12, 1 through 2. I'm going to read it again, but about the idea of renewing our minds. And I just want to dig into that a little further this morning. So it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, as I was beginning to prepare this sermon, there's one phrase that I felt like God said. I'm going to say it once now, and I'm going to say it a little bit later. And it goes like this. It says, I felt like he said, "You are responsible for the truth that lives inside of you, not the lies that lay outside." So often we can become so concerned about everything else that is going on, about all the negative things we see, all the negative things we hear, that we can allow that to begin to grab our attention when our responsibility is that which lives inside of us, the truth that lives inside of us, Jesus Christ that lives inside of us. That is our first and foremost responsibility as Christians, is the truth that lives inside of us. That does not mean that we are not responsible to search ourselves, to search our hearts, to search our thoughts, to see if there's any lies there. I'm not saying that we're only responsible to the truth and we're not responsible for lies. But if the truth lives inside of us, if Jesus is inside of us, then we cannot be content to allow lies to coexist. So if we are responsible to the truth that lives inside of us, we will not be content to allow lies to coexist. So why do we need to renew our minds? Because whether we like it or not, we have all been conformed to this world in some way or another. You will always become acclimated or conformed to the atmosphere around you unless you purposely renew your mind. We were born with a sinful nature, and the longer we live in this world, the longer we live in this atmosphere, the more likely we are to be conformed to this world. We will naturally begin to acclimate to that. It's kind of like if you get into a hot tub that's really hot, and after a little while, your body slowly starts to acclimate a little bit. You don't realize it, But you will naturally acclimate to that which you surround yourself with. Whether it is the Bible and the truth or the world around you or your workplace or whatever it may be, it will eventually start to impact you. This is why we need to renew our minds on a regular basis. This is why we need to dig into the scriptures so that we can renew our minds. So what does it mean to renew our minds? If the opposite end of the spectrum was that we are being conformed to this world, then really, to renew our minds means to conform to God's world, or to come into alignment with His thoughts, to slowly come into alignment with the image of God and the things that He thinks. So we're going from a process of being conformed to the world to allowing God to conform us to the kingdom of God through the process of renewing our minds. So it's really a reversing process of the fact that we very naturally become conformed to this world. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me just as I am of Christ." So part of the process of renewing our mind is becoming imitators of Christ. Learning how to imitate or reflect Christ, the Christ that lives inside of us. 2 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 14, says, "But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." So we're being transformed on a continual basis into the image of Christ. And I think there's a very important thing here. It talks about when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now we know that when Jesus died, the veil was torn. But this makes it seem as though Jesus actually took the place of the veil, because now for us to get into the Holy of Holies, we have to go through Jesus. But He now lives inside of us, so we have access to the Holy of Holies all the time through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus actually took the place of the veil, the thing that once held, concealed the Holy of Holies. It was torn, He took the place, and now if we're willing to accept Him and He lives inside of us, we now have access into the Holy of Holies. See, it is through Jesus Christ that we actually have the access to God's thoughts, to the image of God. It is through Jesus living inside of us, it's through that truth that lives inside of us, and through the Holy Spirit, that we now actually have the ability to access the thoughts of God. So the veil was torn, and now we have Jesus that can reveal the thoughts of God to us. And it's through that revelation of the thoughts of God where we can begin to come into alignment with the kingdom of God. We can begin to renew our minds from this world, from the thoughts of this world, from the perversions of this world, from the things that slowly creep in to what the kingdom of God says. I remember Bill Johnson saying once something to this effect. He said, "I cannot afford to have a thought about myself that is not grounded in what God thinks about me." You see, we come up with all of these perceptions of ourselves. We come up with all of these thoughts about ourselves, some of them through negative things that happened to us, some of them through things that people said, whether knowingly or unknowingly. We eventually begin to conform to the thoughts that are shared with us, to the things that happen to us. What we really need is to know what God thinks about us. Because we can't afford to see ourselves in a different light than what God sees us in. And we can actually expand that further. I can't afford to have a thought about Randy that God doesn't have for Randy. I can't afford to have a thought about anyone in here or anybody that I come into contact with that God doesn't already have. So if we can learn to renew our minds and begin to tap into his thoughts about ourselves, about others, and about situations even. How many times do we encounter situations throughout the week and our natural tendency is to go down a different road than what God thinks about it? We need to constantly be renewing our minds. We need to constantly be getting closer to God and his thoughts for ourselves and for everything around us. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to be convinced of this as Christians, that his thoughts are indeed higher than ours. You see, if we're convinced in our own minds that what we think is already correct, we will never be open to what God thinks, to admitting that his ways are higher than ours. You know, sometimes it's easy when we get into an argument with people to be so convinced that we know what's right already that we discount what they say before they even say it. If you go into a conversation with God like that, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Because I'm telling you, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He knows better than I know. And if I pretend differently, that is such a prideful area to be in, to think that you know better than God in a situation. So we need to be convinced in our minds that there's a good chance that God thinks something that's better than what we think, that God thinks something that's different than what we think, that God thinks something that's higher than what we think, and to be willing to accept that from him. So that's the first area of renewing our minds, is just the idea of knowing that God's thoughts are higher than ours, and that we've been conformed to this world, and to begin to tap in to the kingdom of God. I also want to talk for just a little bit about a practical method of realizing when we have distorted thought patterns. Some of you have maybe already heard of this. I just recently read about it, but I believe that it ties in so well with what the scriptures say about taking our thoughts captive, about renewing our minds. And it's called CBT, cognitive brain therapy. And it really is just the process of recognizing when our thoughts are a distorted form of reality, when we've maybe overreacted to something. It's the process of recognizing that, taking it captive before it gets too out of control, and taking a step back and analyzing it, being able to think about it, being able to ask God what he thinks about it, so that we're no longer just processing through our emotions and our reactions. Because whether we like it or not, we all have instant reactions from time to time, especially when certain things are said or when certain circumstances happen. Sometimes it's because it's a defense mechanism. We've trained ourselves to react in a certain way so we don't get hurt again. But we all have these ways where we distort reality in an attempt to protect ourselves. And this allows you to take a step back and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm blowing this way out of proportion. I'm assuming things that may or may not be true. I'm overreacting to things, and I need to take a step back and process it. And part of that, from a Christian standpoint for me, is to take a step back and to be able to ask God if I am way off on this right now. But it gives you the opportunity to be able to determine without your emotions and blowing everything out of proportion. And that's not to say that your emotions are always wrong, but they oftentimes can be, or they can over-exaggerate. And being able to come back to a place where we see things from a more realistic perspective. You know, I think sometimes the way that Satan gets a hold of our thought life and our picture of ourselves is by taking us down these roads of distorted thinking. Distorting reality at least aids in the process. Distorted thinking causes us to think that people think things about us that may or may not even be true. That's what I'm one of the things that I mean by distorting reality. Sometimes we assume people mean a certain thing, and we really have no idea. But instead of taking a step back and trying to determine whether or not that's even remotely true or what they could have meant, we just automatically allow our minds to run with that. And I think Satan uses that to a large extent, because sometimes some of those things that we perceive that may or may not be true start to begin to mold our mind about how we think about ourselves or even how we think about others. If somebody said something about somebody else, sometimes we take that and we run with it, and it's not even reality. It's not even realistic. But unless we're willing to allow ourselves to learn about how we process circumstances and information and how we have a tendency to distort things, that becomes reality because we're not willing to analyze it. A couple of these things, I'm just going to read through a small list of them. You can find a list of these on the internet really easy if you just type in CBT or cognitive brain therapy. And it is, I think, quite helpful to kind of understand. And some of these thought processes are even highlighted in what we use for our Freedom Ministry book. The first one is mind reading. You assume that you know what people think without having sufficient evidence of their thoughts. It's kind of what I was just talking about. Or even you take something that somebody said and you assume that they were thinking something different. See, oftentimes we think we know what somebody is thinking before they actually tell us what they're thinking. We're so convinced that we know somebody's thoughts or how they feel about us, maybe even just by how they looked at us. We can become so convinced that we take that on as reality instead of taking a step back. And unfortunately, those things can almost take the place of God's thoughts for us if we allow them to. If we believe something for long enough, we actually begin to push aside what God thinks about us, and we take these other things on. We become conformed to the world without even realizing it. Catastrophizing, if I even said that correctly. You believe that what has happened or will happen will be so awful and unbearable that you won't be able to stand it. I think maybe this is what happened to the Israelites after they left Egypt. They hit their first obstacle, and they immediately thought the worst possible situation. God, you brought us out here to die. Like, who would do that? Why would you bring us out here to die, right? It's so easy sometimes, especially when we're already maybe a little bit stressed or whatever, to take a situation and think the worst possible thing. Maybe the principal called you to the office, right? What's our natural tendency? Or God forbid the pastor asks you to come talk, right? Or your boss at work or anything. How many times is something innocent, somebody wants to have an innocent meeting, and our instant reaction is to begin to think, what's the worst possible thing? Why does he want to talk to me? Why do they want to talk to me? What did I do wrong, right? Our minds, if we allow it, will instantly take us down this road of distorted reality. Make elephants out of anthills really quickly. Labeling. You assign global negative traits to yourselves and others. Discounting positives. You claim that the positive things you or others do are trivial. Negative filtering. You focus almost exclusively on the negatives and seldom notice the positives. A lot of these things overlap. You could do 100 things right in one day and do one thing wrong. And sometimes that's instantly the thing that overwhelms our attitude for the entire day. We discount the positives and we highlight the negatives, sometimes without even realizing it. Overgeneralizing. You perceive a global pattern of negatives on the basis of a single incident. You do one thing wrong and all of a sudden you assume you're a terrible parent because of one thing you did wrong. Or you fail one test and you think that you're going to fail every test. Taking one bad thing and projecting it across your entire life. There's a few more, but I won't bore you with all of them. I would encourage you to maybe look up a list. And I think it's a good thing for us to kind of take inventory, because I think we're all prone to at least one of these, if we'll be honest with ourselves. And I think recognizing it is a big first step in being able to correct it and to be able to allow God to correct it, beginning to allow God to renew our minds. And I think if we read down this list, we can realize that especially in the day and age we live right now, that it's a huge part of our social atmosphere right now. There's a lot of distorted thought processes that are happening. But a lot of them aren't being brought back into check. We're allowing people to run with those. And I think even too for us and how we view what's going on in the world, I think it's helpful for us to realize some of what's happening in the world, some of what's being said, some of what we see in the media is actually just an extension of distorted thinking. And I think it'll help us as people and as Christians to be able to put that back into perspective in our own minds instead of allowing that to then create more distortions within us and how we process it. When you recognize that something else is being operated based on a distortion, I believe that it helps us to be able to put it into perspective so we know how to process it as well as how we distort things ourselves. All right, I want to come back to the statement that I talked about earlier. You are only responsible for the truth that lives inside you, not the lies that lay outside. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, sometimes we can become more concerned about exposing lies than revealing truth. You might wonder, what's the difference between exposing a lie and revealing the truth? It has everything to do with what we focus on. You can expose a lie or attempt to expose a lie without actually bringing truth into the situation, and all you've really done is expose a lie. It's like telling somebody they're in a dark room without flipping the light switch on. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we become so focused on pulling at and picking at the lies that we see without actually being responsible to the truth inside of us, without being more concerned about the truth inside of us. Now, I can tell you right now that anytime you reveal the truth to somebody, the lie will automatically be exposed. See, that's the difference. You can expose a lie without revealing the truth, but you cannot reveal the truth without exposing a lie. And you see, now people have the choice not to just reject one lie that you exposed and accept another lie. They now have the opportunity to continue in the lie or accept the truth. Because you cannot reveal a truth without a lie being exposed. So we are responsible for the truth that lays inside of us, the truth that's inside of us, because it's that truth that brings the light into a dark world. We can be so concerned about lies that we see around us that we don't even bring the truth that's inside of us into the situation. All right, so I'm going to end with something else I really feel like God was saying for this time. Has anyone else felt lately like they're being constricted, squeezed, or compressed by what's going on in the world around us? Spiritually or emotionally, maybe you feel stress rising inside of you and peace decreasing. I believe that we are in a time when Satan is trying to constrict, trying to squeeze or compress Christians especially, but this world as a whole, probably more than we've recognized in a long time. But I believe that God's word for us is that he wants to expand our capacity. He wants to expand our borders. You see, where Satan wants to constrict you, where he wants to crush you, God says, no, no, no. I want to expand your capacity. See, Satan would like to decrease your capacity through conformity to the world, but God wants to increase your capacity. Genesis 50, starting with verse 19, says, but Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. There's a lot of things going on right now that Satan means for evil. Where he wants to constrict you, God wants to expand you. Isaiah 54, starting with verse 2, says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. I believe that that is the word of God for New Life Fellowship and for Christians in this country altogether. But I believe specifically for us this morning, he says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Spiritually, he wants to expand your capacity. He wants to expand your capacity for understanding. He wants to expand your capacity for spiritual gifts. He wants to expand your capacity for authority. He wants to expand your capacity for creativity. It may require that when Satan constricts you, you actually push back against him and say, no, I'm not having it. You will not push in the borders of my walls. God is going to expand your borders. He is going to expand your capacity. It doesn't matter how much Satan wants to destroy it, because what he meant for evil, God meant for good. He may just be building up the tension for you to spring back. You stand with me. God, we admit that our thoughts aren't always the same as yours. We admit that we need to renew our minds on a regular basis. And God, we ask that you would give us the grace through Jesus Christ to know and to discern when we're off, God, and to know and to discern what your thoughts are, God, that we would be continually on a process of being more conformed to your image than that of this world. And God, we believe very much that you want to expand our capacity. And God, we say yes. Whether it's uncomfortable or not, God, we say yes. We want what you have for us. If that's your prayer, just tell him. God, we want what you have for us. We want you to expand us as far as you want to expand us, God. We don't want to hold you back in any way, shape, or form. We thank you so much that you would love us enough to continue to work in our lives and continue to work through us, God. Amen.